In a new tell-all book, former State Corrections Secretary Ed Wahl is taking Governor Scott Walker and Attorney General Brad Schimmel to task, especially over their handling of inmate abuse at Wisconsin's youth prisons. He says because of political reasons, the two refused to get more involved. Wahl resigned in 2016 as the federal government began its investigation into abuse at Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake. He later took a job with the Department of Justice. After being fired by Schimmel a short time later, he said he came close to killing himself. Ed Wahl's book is titled Unethical, Life in Scott Walker's Cabinet and the Dirty Side of Politics. Secretary Wahl, thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon, Judith. Pleasure to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Let's start at the beginning and work our way forward. You were the administrator of the Division of Criminal Investigation at the Department of Justice when Scott Walker was elected governor in 2010. Tell us what your first impressions of the governor-elect were.
You know, I had never heard of him, really, aside from seeing articles here and there in the paper when he was Milwaukee County executive. And I made a large effort to stay away from politics. I actually became more aware of Scott Walker when District Attorney John Chisholm came to us to brief us on the John Doe investigation that he was doing, and he wanted the Department of Justice to take over the investigation into candidate Scott Walker at the time. And Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen and the Deputy Attorney General at the time, Ray Tafora, and I discussed it, and ultimately the Attorney General made the decision that he would not take the investigation of the John Doe cases, primarily just for political reasons. It was just not something that they wanted to undertake, and they encouraged and referred to the federal system. When I met Walker during the transition, I liked him. I mean, he was a very, very nice guy, you know, and when I watched his ads on TV, I thought, well, maybe this guy's something different. You know, he brings his lunch to work in a paper bag, and, you know, he drives an old car, which I found out he did. And I said, well, you know, maybe he's just not one of those power-hungry politicians who's out to just feather their own nest. Unfortunately, I found out that I was wrong, but that was my first impression.
Well, shortly after he took office, Governor Walker introduced Act 10, and you write in your book that it wasn't so much the scope of the bill that concerned you, but the carve-outs from it. Explain that for us.
Well, I understood, or at least I heard what the reasoning was behind the Act 10, and I saw for what it was. I mean, the disguise of the budget bill was that he wanted to eliminate public sector bargaining, and that's exactly what he did. So I understood what the idea was. The thing that bothered me was the carve-outs, and it affected me and my agency personally. So he exempted law enforcement and emergency services under the auspices that, you know, the public safety had to be protected. And I think that was probably done because he was pretty cognizant of the fact there were going to be some protests, and he didn't want to have to deal with the police and being involved in that. But he then went a little bit further, and he exempted the state patrol so that they were able to bargain for their pay and for their benefits and their working conditions. And yet he did not include the rest of state law enforcement. So that was my agents in the Division of Criminal Investigation, the Capitol Police, the University Police, the Department of Natural Resources were all exempted from the carve-out. Which gave me great pause. And I said, well, you know, why would this be? And, I mean, the answer was obvious. It was because the head of the state patrol was the son of two senators who were working to get his Act 10, or were going to be working to get the Act 10 things through. And they also provide his security detail, and they drive him everywhere. So it just seemed to be a pretty self-serving reason to exempt one state agency, law enforcement agency, and not the rest.
So you had some hesitations and concerns, and then about a year later in 2012, Gary Hamblin stepped down as Corrections Secretary, and Governor Walker asked you to take over the department. What were you thinking when you considered whether or not to take that job?
Well, actually, they came to me at the transition and talked to me then about going, and I declined it because I was on probation as the administrator of the Division of Criminal Investigation, which is a civil service sworn law enforcement position that is not supposed to be serving at the will of the Attorney General. And if I left while I was on probation, I would not have had restoration to my job. So you had mentioned before I went back to justice to take another job. Actually, the only reason I left was because the law guaranteed me that I would be able to go back to my position. And that's what caused me to get into bumping heads with Schimmel, with me trying to go back.
We're talking with Ed Wahl right now. He's former secretary of Wisconsin's Department of Corrections, and he's the author of the new book, Unethical: Life in Scott Walker's Cabinet and the Dirty Side of Politics. And so we know from your book and from other sources that before that, before you took over, a Racine County judge had warned Governor Walker's office of safety issues at Lincoln Hills, the youth prison for boys. Did that come up in your meeting with him when he was asking you to take over the DOC?
Never. And the first time I saw that letter was when it was published in the paper. When I had spoken with the governor about taking the position, they had talked to me about the fact that we had a rapidly increasing number of geriatric inmates that were probably going to need my attention. But they never mentioned the letter from the judge, because had they, I would have dove right into it. That's just the way that I operate. And when I saw that letter, and then I saw the governor basically saying that, you know, I didn't know anything about it, the letter in the paper had handwritten on the top, Alex I, underlined with policy, and that I knew who that was. It's Alex Ignatowski, who is his closest aide, and is also the husband of the governor's legal chief, Katie Ignatowski. So to say that the governor wasn't aware of it, or it was handled by a policy person, I knew after having been in the administration that was absolutely ridiculous. There's no way that his legal chief or one of his closest advisors wouldn't have gone to him and said, this is pretty big, you need to be aware of this.
Well, and then when Attorney General Brad Schimmel took office in 2014, you say that you gave him a personal briefing on Lincoln Hills. What was his response?
He came over when Brad first came to meet with me, came to my office, seemed like a very nice guy. I had met him. We would be co-chairing the Criminal Justice Coordinating Council together. That's why we wanted to get together to talk. I briefed him extensively, and I told him, here's what we have going on. These are the allegations that are being made. Here's what we've done so far. I requested the investigation into it because I knew it needed to be handled by an outside agency. And I also knew that the implications could be statewide, because it could be involving kids that were harmed and then released, and they could be living anywhere in the state. And the only state agency that has statewide criminal jurisdiction is the Division of Criminal Investigation, my old agency. So I requested the investigation, and I asked him to please make sure that it was a priority for them, because it left a lot of exposure for the governor and for our agency, and not to mention the fact we had allegations that kids were being harmed by state employees, and there shouldn't be anything more important than that.
In 2015, you visited Lincoln Hills for an unannounced tour. What did you find when you did that?
Oh, I made dozens and dozens and dozens of unannounced tours at Lincoln Hills. I was there just about every day for months. But in August, I had received a call from the sheriff, who had his sergeant detectives had spoken to somebody at the institution at Lincoln Hills, and they said that, you know, the kids are really getting out of control, and he kind of attributed to the fact that the Department of Justice was just dragging their feet in the investigation. They had one agent working part-time on this investigation for 10 months, and that was the part that was really infuriating us at the Department of Corrections, is why would you not devote resources to this? And when I went up to visit, some of the kids were yelling, I'm being tortured, I'm being injured, but they were laughing and fooling around. And when I went into the library, there's a group of guys there, and they all knew who I was, because I was there fairly frequently. And they said, we're being beaten, we're being tortured. And I walked right over, and I stood there with them, and they got in a circle around me, and I said, so tell me. I said, what happened? And I talked to each one of them. I said, tell me what happened to you. Well, nothing happened to me. It was somebody that I knew, or I heard about a guy in another cottage. And come to find out, none of the kids had been, you know, they were basically talking from what they'd heard from other people. And I told them, and I told the librarian, I said, I want these kids to be able to contact me anytime. And you make sure that when they come to you, they can give you the information and it gets to me. And he understood. I never heard from any of them. But it certainly made me realize that the impact that the way the Department of Justice was running the investigation was severely impacting the climate in the institution, because the kids knew that there were investigators there, you know, here and there, and they were aware that somebody was doing an investigation about people being injured or hurt, and it was just ratcheting up the tension that was in the institution between the officers and with the youth. So it was an uncomfortable situation.
Secretary Wall, as you have published this book and have been talking about it, the Walker administration has said that actually the fault lies with you, that this fell squarely under your jurisdiction. Briefly, how would you respond to that?
Well, that's absolutely nonsense. And I think it was actually Brad Schimmel who said that. And Brad Schimmel has got a lot to be worried about and to hide from, because his agency just basically ignored Lincoln Hills until somebody got hurt. And that's the fact of the matter. He's dodged releasing any kind of documents. He's made completely false accusations in the press. He points to the fact that he terminated me because he says that I encouraged a state employee to destroy a public record, when he knows, in fact, that the public record was a draft of my appeal document. It wasn't like these were the Nixon tapes. This was my appeal document that only pertained to me.
And we'll have to leave it there. Ed Wall, thank you so much for joining us. Ed Wall is a former secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Corrections. We talked with him about his new book, Unethical, Life in Scott Walker's Cabinet and the Dirty Side of Politics. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.